Lord, appreciate again that we could be in Bible class this morning and be start our Sunday studying God's Word together. What a blessing to be together and do that. I appreciate all that Dave went through to get those Sunday school lessons in front of us each week for the past 2 years. But let me be perfectly honest with you that when I'm sitting down and watching that Sunday school lesson in my study, I've got 16 other things that need to be done at the same time. And Dave does not have all of my attention. So I'm sure that's not true with you. But again, it is so good, again, to be together in person to study God's Word together and go through those lessons. Those lessons, again, are tremendous. I mean, the structure of them, the themes that they pick out, and again, if you look in the front of your lesson book there, it's categorized all out for the whole year, everything that we're going to go through. So I encourage you again to be here if you can. If not, Dave's going to get them up on our webpage, or not on our webpage, but on our Sunday school page. And so I encourage you to give your undivided attention to them when you get a chance to go through them. Did I say John? I'm in Luke. So I did say John chapter 14. Is that what I said? So as I said, man, we've had us a week. There's things going on in everybody's life that, again, pulls your pastor in different directions. This next week's not looking much better. Preacher's Fellowship Monday night and Tuesday morning again up at Auburn, and Evangelist King's going to be up there. He preached down at the at Lighthouse last year and preached, I think, up at Auburn as well. We went up there and heard Evangelist King. If you've not heard him, it'd be worth to kick off at least Monday night and to drive all the way to Auburn Freedom Baptist Church and hear Brother King preach. He's not normal. We'll just leave it at that, I guess. But an excellent, excellent preacher. And he brings out things, again, that you don't normally see in Scripture. And he's got a mannerism of doing that causes it to be worth the drive to Auburn to hear Evangelist King preach a little bit. And if he can be off on Monday, some of us are retired and can take all Tuesday off and go up there as well. And so appreciate, again, that opportunity. But this past week, again, I'd like to teach two messages here right off the top that come out of things that we've walked through this week. The first one's called hospice. And so let's start a little lesson on hospice. Anybody know what hospice is? Unfortunately, most of us here know what hospice is. And it's an organization, a help that helps people to be comfortable physically and comfortably spiritually in their last days. And of course, as a Baptist preacher, we want to have an emphasis on that, being comfortable spiritually. And I like to put an emphasis that you don't know, but what this is your last days. Any one of us in this room could have an aneurysm pop just like that. And before you slumped down, fell out of your chair, you'd be in heaven. So the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And let's just look at a few of the promises. I know that nothing's new here, but again, I'd encourage you that we live in a world that's dying and going to hell. We live in a world, again, where people have been taught that there is no God from K through 12. We live in a world that has been taught to mock God, to turn their back on God. And we live in a world where people need the Lord. And if you know the Lord, you've been given an obligation to tell somebody else what you know. We're left here as his witnesses. And so here's a good set of verses that will help you with that. I said the other night in church, I was there, and they gave opportunity to give testimonies. And I did share this, whenever I see someone smoking in a parking lot, I like to go by and pull out my business card and walk up to them and say, hey, there's a rumor that you'll die from doing that. There's a rumor that that habit will kill you. If that be the case, here's some Bible verses that you need to have. And listen, I've never had anybody turn me down a track in a parking lot where they're sucking on a cigarette and I give them that introduction. That there's a rumor that those things will kill you. If that's the truth, here's some Bible verses that you're going to need again. And so we are commanded to be witnesses and to talk about Christ every place we go. There's an easy in right there again, I found very effective. Let's look at John chapter 14. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word and begin with this introductory thought. John chapter 14, of course, familiar, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Father, praise you for your word. Thank you that your Son is coming again. And thank you for the promise of this scripture. Help us again to lean on it, to love it, to learn it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so this beginning opening here is preached at many a funeral again. It's given this promise. Don't miss the promise here where God says, I go to prepare a place for you and I'm going to come again and receive you that where I am, there ye may be also. And so this great promise is given to believers. And I've heard it said, and I've said it here already several times, but boy, I want you to catch this thought. Does man have a soul? No, man does not have a soul. Man is a soul, and they have a body. See the difference there? That it used to be when they counted people on airplanes, they would say that there was 234 souls on board. They've got away from that because our whole world's got away from society. But understand that man is a soul. That humans are a soul. And we're just occupying this body for a little while. It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then it's gone. And again, boys, focus on that. Understand that. When you see somebody walking down the street, I don't care how many tattoos they have. I don't care how many things they pierce. Again, understand that that is a soul. And they're in that body, but we're to be witnesses to souls. And souls are lost and going to hell. For a believer, John 14 is precious. That, hey, he's left and he's coming again. And he's promised it with every assurance. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No, before we get to 1 Corinthians, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Maybe we'll stop there. If I preach fast, I can still get 7 messages in and get all these verses in. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 says this. I wrote down the verses. Look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body," remember, think about that, the soul is at home in the body, "we are absent from the Lord." Verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And so you've heard that said, that again, for a Christian, for a believer, when we're absent from this body, we are present with the Lord, just like that. You've got an assurance of God's word on it. Let's look at some more. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." And so again, there you have the gospel in the opening of this chapter. It's a good place to learn what the gospel is, as it's defined right there. And it says that it's given to them. But let's look at the close of this chapter. Look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The Bible leaves no question that there is an eternal life. And when we have it again, we're going to raise from this old world. Even if we've died and they've buried this body, and though worms consume, listen, we don't like to read that sometimes. That's what Job said. He said, listen, with these eyes, that's what Job said, though worms consume this body, with these eyes I shall behold my Redeemer. And so again, understand here is this description in the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We see that we're going to have a resurrected body. It's going to be a body just like Jesus had. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. Covers again a little more insight to that. The church at Thessalonica were ignorant and about this. If people died, they missed the resurrection. They missed the second coming of Christ. They missed going to be with Him in the place that He has prepared. And so over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this we say, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Remember when Jesus talked about Lazarus and he said he sleeps, and the disciples said, well, it's a good thing if he's sleeping, he'll get some rest. No, that's not the sleep he's talking about. And listen, listen, listen. It's not soul sleep either, okay? The JWs, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, be gone with their cult stuff. There's no such thing as soul sleep. Let me say this again.
That's right.
You are a soul. And listen, there's no sleep. I just showed you the verses that when we leave this body, we're present with the Lord. That's our soul. When Jesus died on the cross, His body went to the tomb. His soul went to hell. And His spirit went to the Lord. Into thy hands I commend thy spirit. And again, we see that He was then rescued from hell, because He went to hell to pay your sin debt. To pay my sin debt. For God, I can't get the verse right now. But anyway, commended His love towards us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. So look here, this is those that will not prevent, those that sleep will not prevent them. Or those that are alive will not present them that are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Then verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these things. Listen, that's a comfort to us. And if you've here and you've had any training by a charismatic, let me go ahead and say that in the Greek, this phrase in the clouds means in the clouds. And in the Greek, if you look it up, this phrase says to meet Him in the air. In Greek, that means in the air again. And so there's going to be a rapture of the church. We're going to be caught out of here. Jesus said in John, what's the shortest verse in the Bible?
Well,
Jesus, right?
I knew that'd bring a little controversy.
Yeah.
John 11:35. Yeah, that's it. And I said if you're going to quote John 11:35 around here, you have to quote John 11:25, that where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That's talking about a body. That's talking about a resurrected body. And then he went on to say to Martha, "And he that liveth and believeth shall never die." I've had people that were sticklers on Scripture, and they said, "Oh, the Bible says that every man's got to die. Jesus said that every man ain't got to die. There's going to be some that don't. And I'm looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker." And so again, to understand that, hey, these things are given to us that are believers, so we know what's going to happen to us when our soul leaves this body. Keep that cognizant in your mind. And again, understand that we need to share that truth with others. John 3:16. Open your Bible there. I hope it's already marked in your Bible. A verse that's well known. I was always disappointed that memorizing Scripture. Scripture memorizers leave off 17 and 18. Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Let's say John 3:16, 17, and 18 together. If you have your Bible open, you may need it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned." He's condemned already, "because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." Listen, I've heard of people say, "What do I need to be saved from?" I've heard even Christians that don't even like to talk about the term being saved. You'll scare people away. Listen, people need to be saved. And they need to know what they're getting saved from. They're getting saved from condemnation. And they're all in condemnation. Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we are condemned." Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are sinners, Christ died for us." And again, as we look at these, boy, there's comfort in a believer. For someone to tell me the old story that I have heard so long. We sing the song, but boy, don't forget it. And rehearse these verses. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." How do you get that gift of God? It's not given to everybody. It's available to everybody. And whosoever will could come to him, as we've already read. But it's only received of those who come to him according to the decree that he's given. Romans 10:9-10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made to salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Brother Bliss, no calling, no salvation. Praise the Lord. You've got to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you do, again, listen, there's a lot of people that believe. And there's a lot of Catholics who believe everything there is to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they've never called with their mouth and believed in their heart that they needed that salvation and that they could obtain that free gift. And so again, hospice care comes under, again, those that would have spiritual comfort. And for a believer, John 14, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 gives great spiritual comfort. To know again that we'll be absent from the body, but we'll be present with the Lord. And our soul's gone to heaven. And our spirit's gone up to be with God for all of eternity. And I'll never leave you and never forsake you. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. For an unbeliever, or a suspect unbeliever. Boy, those verses, John 3:16, 17, 18, 36, John 5:24, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9-10. That's what we call the Romans Road. And again, it points out that everybody needs salvation. Let me preach another message to you here. This one's called the half shekel number 13. Half shekel number 13. I've been writing out half shekels. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Wow, that was a little longer than I meant to go. But boy, it's a comfort, praise the Lord, to know again that we can be comfortable spiritually as we approach leaving this old world. Matthew in chapter 26. I'm going to try and preach this whole chapter and half the next in the next couple of minutes. And so as we look at that, I just want to emphasize one thing. I am writing out half-shekel journals. I call them a half-shekel because it's worth, that's my 2 cents again, and that's a half-shekel in Israel. And so our trip to Israel, all the places we went, I'm on day number 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm on day number 4. And I'm on half shekel number 13 just to show you how slow I'm going here. It's been 13 weeks. I put out one of these per week, and this week I still haven't gotten out half shekel number 13. But look at it now in verse 26, or Matthew chapter 26 and verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Sometimes I think we don't know that as well as we ought to. And boy, this last trip to Israel, again, it was a burden on my heart. I don't know that as well as I ought to. We visited Gethsemane. Gethsemane is covered in this chapter. And then there at the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed, let this cup pass from me. There again, at the turmoil of that, right after he told them that he was going to be crucified, and all that he went through in the garden, and the disciples that slept through it. And there in the chapter where Peter says, I'll never deny you. And Jesus says, oh, you're going to deny me 3 times. There they come through the Garden of Gethsemane, and they took Jesus because Judas had betrayed him. And listen, on a map I've plotted out where they walked to from Gethsemane to Caiaphas' house. It's 0.9 miles. It's about a 20-minute walk. They go down and they go across the valley. They pop up next to the southern steps where we had a worship service. They go across. They go down through the city of David and they go up through the upper city to Caiaphas' palace. There at Caiaphas' palace is where Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. The Bible says that John, the apostle, went in because he knew the high priest. And it says that he went in and was there at the trial in Caiaphas' palace. And then again, they led him from there in the next morning, early in the morning. I don't have time to visit all these verses. Read the journal again. It should be out next Thursday. But again, he left there, and they led him then, captives, bound. They kept him overnight in a pit in Caiaphas' palace. We visited the pits, the prisons, the dungeon underneath Caiaphas' palaces. Very likely where Jesus was kept that night to the next morning. They then took him from there, and they led him to Pilate's judgment hall. We were at Pilate's judgment hall, the Praetorium as it's called in the Gospel of John, or the Gospel of Luke. And there again in that judgment hall is where Pilate first met with him. If you remember the account again, it says in Luke that Pilate had heard that, hey, Herod was in town, and he found out that Jesus was of Galilee. And so they sent Jesus bound to Herod's palace. And if you take a trip to Herod's Palace, I have the Latin long of every one of them because of our eye cameras that took eye pictures with eye locations. And boy, you just can punch all these Latin longs right into the thing. And it brings up a map of the city, tells you how long and how far it is between every one of them. Maps it out on a modern city for a 0.5-mile walk that will take about 10 minutes to get to Herod's Palace. There he was judged again. And remember, Jesus answered Herod, not a word. Didn't say a word to him. They mocked him. And they put a robe on him. And Herod sent the Lord Jesus Christ back to Pilate's judgment hall over at the Praetorium at the northeast corner of the, or northwest corner of the Temple Mount. And so they made that trek back, half a mile back. And then there from the Praetorium, they took him and again gave him a cross. Catholics say a lot about a Via Dolorosa. That's called the way of suffering, and that's how Catholics earn their way to heaven, is by doing a way of suffering and going through stations of the cross. Praise the Lord. My mom was converted from Catholicism. She didn't do the way of cross. She didn't do a confessional anymore. She had a new high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the way that he came out of there, he didn't go down to some Catholic location. Instead, he came out of the Praetorium, and he walked again about a half mile up to the Damascus Gate. They let him out the Damascus Gate, and they took him to a hill called Golgotha. Three times it's mentioned in the Bible. One time it's called Calvary. But it all means the same thing. It's a place of the skull. There's a place where David, there's a place, I believe, where Abraham offered his only begotten son. A pretense, a picture, a portrayal that God was going to offer his only begotten son on the same little mount called Mount Moriah. That's a place where David, after he had killed Goliath, he carried the skull of Goliath to Jerusalem and put it on a mountain that was shaped like a skull. And again, there they took the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the base of that hill that looked like a skull, we have victory over death. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. We could have walked that whole journey. We jumped on a nice cushy bus and drove from Gethsemane to Caiaphas's palace, back on the bus and drove to the garden tomb. Boy, it had been worthwhile to walk that thing. And it had been worthwhile to walk where Jesus walked on that day when they crucified my Lord. We'll be back there next month, and we'll visit that place again. It's called a Holy Land Tour. Let me preach here real quickly a message from Pakistan. I can do this in 5 minutes. Matthew in chapter 5, if you would. Matthew in chapter 5. Matthew is a tremendous introduction to our New Testament. It's the first book of our New Testament. It's the introduction to the New Testament. Matthew's a transitional book, even as Acts shows the transition. The book of Matthew shows the offering of the kingdom to the Jews. So you got to have your head on straight. You got to understand a few things about dispensations, even to understand what we're holding when we're looking at the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, we find chapter 1 covers the birth of Jesus. Chapter 2 covers the wise men's presence and worship in Jesus' life. Chapter 3 covers the baptism and the public ministry beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ. And chapter 4 is the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, God manifest in the flesh. Look with me at chapter 5. It says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up to a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Matthew 18, except a man be converted, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Listen, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you're going to have a poor and broken and contrite spirit. I think your friend's here. You can go ahead and invite him in if you want. Tell him the preacher's almost done. No, no, don't lie. A broken and contrite spirit's what it takes. Look at verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. What do they get when they mourn? They get a comforter. Praise the Lord. These three, first three blessed R's are portrayals, are pictures, as it were, of what we have when we are seeking salvation. How to the attitudes we have. Look at verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Welcome. And so again, the meek, that's not quite like the haughty. That's not the proud. And so notice again that these first three are, again, are good qualifications for coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. A broken spirit, a mourning and repentant of sin, and a meek that I cannot do it myself. And so we see a portrayal. And then the next blessed R, I'm all the way up to this. Again, been preaching for 4 weeks in Pakistan. Again, gotten up to this fourth blessed R. Look at verse 6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school hour this day. That there are people who, I'm going to say, make a profession of salvation, but they never come to verse 6 of this. They never come to having a hunger and thirst after righteousness. They never come to pursuing what that God had saved them, and yet he seemed to stop there, and he doesn't give them a hunger and thirst after righteousness. So again, as we go down through these nine blessed R's, again, understand this. Three of them have to do with our attitude to come to Christ. Three of them have to do with what God does inside of us to make us a new creature in him. And then three of them have to do with the persecutions that we're going to receive in this world because you know the Father. I wish I could go ahead and finish all the points of that message. Let's look at Youth Ablaze. Three more messages out of Youth Ablaze. I can do it in 3 minutes. Youth Ablaze again. We was up there. The first message that just broke my heart is found in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 26, where we were before. Look at it quickly. Matthew and chapter 26. The Bible says in verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. This was Mary. I've done a lot of study on these Marys of the Bible. I believe that this is Mary, Martha's sister. That's the house they were at. And I believe that that same Mary did that previously. In Luke, we're told again that a woman came and Jesus gave the illustration to the Pharisee with this statement. Who is going to love me most? And the answer is the one that was forgiven the most. And Mary, in the same chapter, had 7 demons cast out of her. And she's called Mary Magdalene because she was from the land of Magdala. And so again, that Mary Magdalene, who had 7 demons cast out of her, loved him with all her heart and came and anointed him and kissed his feet. And now we find again here in Matthew chapter 26, there came a woman having an alabaster box, and they were in Mary's house, and Martha. Remember, Mary, again, was there to worship, and Martha was cumbered about much serving. And so, again, here we find that here's Mary. She comes, and she breaks. I just want to point at the alabaster box. The alabaster box was a sealed box made of, again, very stone, again, that was carved and very ornamental. but it was completely sealed, and it was filled with a fragrance, with spices and perfumes that were in there, and it was completely sealed. They didn't have good bottles. Again, they didn't have a little bottle of perfume. Instead, they sealed this in an alabaster box. And she came and she broke the box. And the only way to get the ointment out, the only way to get the perfume out of that box was to break the box, the whole box. You couldn't say, I'm going to give just a little bit. No, you had to give it all. And Mary gave it all. Boy, there at Youth Ablaze, there was a charge given that young people, we need to be willing to give it all. And Mary brought it and gave it all. Let me give you this charge. Old people, we need to be willing to give it all. To not keep any back. And just to give it to the God who saved us. And so Mary, there again with the perception, even as Jesus said, gave all. It gives the cost of that again. The cost, as we would see it, would be a 1 year's salary. I'm told, I haven't really experienced this very much, but I'm told the average salary in America is $57,000 per year, is the average salary. I know that there's probably not a lot here that have reached average yet. But again, understand this, that was the value of what she gave, and she broke it and gave. Now I understand a little bit why Judas was so upset, a year's salary. Look down a little bit and look what Judas did. Verse 15, same chapter, Matthew 26. And he said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver is about 2 months worth of salary. Again, 2 months worth of wages of the day. And so, notice the difference. Mary said, what can I give the Lord? Judas said, what can I get? What will you give me? And Mary broke the alabaster box. Judas broke his neck. Mary was given a remembrance, even here in this scripture, that wherever the gospel is preached, they're going to talk about the love that Mary had to break that alabaster box. But Judas also has a memorial. Called the Field of Blood, where they buried him. And again, understand, you won't lose out when you give your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Eddie Wyatt preached a message on Psalms 89, and it said that God is faithful. He's faithful in His Word. His precepts are faithful. And this book shall not be denied. God said that every jot and tittle. Listen, that's more, I believe in the inerrant verbal inspiration of the Word of God. That means every word. But Jesus said every dot and tittle is going to be fulfilled. That's every little teeny marking on a Hebrew letter is going to be fulfilled. That's bigger than even what we define as our faith in this book. But God said again that every dot and tittle is going to be filled. He's fulfilled. He is faithful to His precepts. He is faithful to His person. His attributes are unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful to His people, praise the Lord. You give your life, your soul to Him. He is faithful. He's the one who's promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's faithful to His people. He's faithful to His place. To His church, He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And it is His church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's His church. And so again, we see that He is faithful. He's faithful to His plan. When Brother Thomas was here, he talked again about the will of God for your life and the plan of God for your life. And God is faithful to the plan. God is faithful to what He has laid out for us. And then God is faithful to the service, or to His purpose, and you can find that in the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's going to fulfill exactly what He said He would. Mark Stroud got up and preached next. He preached on thankfulness. If you read Romans chapter 1, there's a staircase defined in Romans chapter 1 that talks about leaving God. They first knew God, but then they did not regard God. First step away again, neither were they thankful. Pastor Shroud made this statement, struck my heart. He said, you may be all caught up on your Bible reading, and praise the Lord if you are. Listen, you may be all caught up on your prayer life, and praise the Lord if you're all caught up on your prayer life. Some of us need to exercise a little bit in those areas first. But he said, I'll guarantee you that there ain't nobody here that's all caught up on their thankfulness. Every one of us needs to learn to be thankful. And let me preach just 7 points out of Psalms 107. Psalms 107, turn there. I hope these verses are marked in your Bible. Psalm 107. Look at verse 2. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so with your mouth. Look at verse 8. Oh, well, first, before we get to verse 8, there's a description of those that wandered in the wilderness. For the wandering, there's this command attached in verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful work to the children of men. Look at verse 15. Wait, before you get to verse 15, notice again that verse 10 says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Boy, again, we're frail. We started this service to understand that, hey, any one of us could be gone before even this service closes. That our life is that frail. Verse 15 says to the frail, to those that are traversing the valley of the shadow of death, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 21. Before you get to verse 21, look at verse 17. Fools, because of their transgressions, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Listen, we go through afflictions in this life. And to the afflicted, look at verse 21. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. And you follow on a trend here. Look at verse 31. Wait, before you get to verse 31, notice again that verse 26 says, they mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Listen, we're going to have troubles in this world. And it talks about being tossed to and fro. And listen, if we're tossed to and fro in this world, look at the solution is in verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. The closes here. And in the closing again, just to look at the last verse. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Let's stand. I've gone a little over. Let's go ahead and dismiss. With this song, you're a born-again Christian, we should never stop thanking the Lord for saving the likes of you, for saving the likes of me, and giving us eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you. Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Father, thank you for what we've seen in your scriptures today. Thank you again for lighting a fire in our soul. Father, that we could again be your witnesses as we step into a new week. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, just before we leave, it's good to have Brother Dave introduce your friends that came in here.
Mike Gage, this must be your son.
Connor.
Connor? All right, so Mike Gage, last time I remember him here, he was like this tall, all right. And some of you remember Margaret Gage, that's your mom.
Grandmother.
Grandma, okay. And so, yeah, praise the Lord. So it's good to have you here today. And you all come and meet Brother Gage. Here.
Yeah.